I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. A thing that I appreciate about Bethany Bible Church is the fact that most of you are not clock watchers. You guys, there have been times over the years that I've been visiting here, and it's like, wow, it's 20 to 12, and we're just now opening up the scriptures. And I'm like, and he's not going to preach in 20 minutes. He's going to preach 30, 35, 40 minutes. And I just kind of went along with the flow. It's not that I'm a clock watcher. At our church in Greenville, where we've been members of for 20 years, Mount Calvary Baptist, our pastor preaches no less than 60 minutes every Sunday morning. Sometimes he'll drop it down to 55. But our service starts at 10:30 and we're done at 12:20. So I'm not a clock watcher myself, but that's one thing I've appreciated you folks about you over the years. Guess what happens at 12 o'clock in a lot of churches? Turning back, looking at the clock, putting all kinds of pressure on the guy behind the pulpit. 12 o'clock here, nothing happens. You're just like, well, we're about half done. So, of course, later in our service, Pastor George will lead us in observing the Lord's table, and in 1 Corinthians 11, Christ admonishes us there to examine ourselves, doesn't he? He says, examine yourself so that you do not partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. The passage we are going to read this morning is one of the ultimate self-examination passages in all of Scripture, if you want to call it that. There's a lot of self-examination that's going to be going on, perhaps, as we read these verses. Let's begin our reading in Matthew 7 and start at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, means a puny amount, few there be that find it. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. My senior year of high school, our public school in Northwest Illinois, we were playing the number one ranked team, all public schools, Northwest Illinois. Now, my junior year, we were that number one team in Northwest Illinois. Problem is, we graduated the first seven guys in the game. And now it's next year, and we're playing that team who's now number one, and we're totally off the charts. Well, I will say that it was a very close, exciting game. It was an absolute nail-biter for about 90 seconds. Right before the halftime buzzer sounded, clock was ticking down, 3-2. They scored another basket. Guy on my team gets the ball out, tosses it to me. And I'm standing right there, full court. So he tossed me the ball, 2, one. And as the clock was about to expire, I heaved the ball to the other end of the court. Now, you know, some of you guys play sports. You know what it's like to just really hit the ball solid. Man, that felt good. Or throw a ball or golf. Oh, man, that 7-iron felt perfect. Well, I'll confess, when I let that go, it felt pretty good. Matter of fact, the ball had a perfect rotation. The ball was going down the exact center of the court. The ball missed the ceiling, it looked to me, by about an inch. And you know exactly what happened when the ball got to the other end, don't you? Because if it didn't go in, I wouldn't be telling you this story. Nothing but net. And the very first thing that went through my mind was this. I'm going to be in the record books. Well, the ball went in, and we are filing out the opposite end of the court. I mean, I threw it that way, and the exit to our locker room was that way. And everybody in the stands, they just went crazy. This loud noise. Folks, as we were going off the court, people were literally pouring out of the stands, hugging me, patting me on the back. You would have thought we had just won the state championship. In reality, we were losing by 20 points. Now, at that moment, what is going on over at the scorer's table? They're wondering, does that basket count or not? They're waiting for the referee to make what is known as a judgment call, where he has to determine whether or not the ball left my hand before the buzzer sounded. Now, I'll just tell you this about that referee. He wasn't paying any attention. Why would you when this team is bad and this team's good and they're losing by 20 and you know the ball's not going to go in? He wasn't paying the least bit of attention. But the people at the keeping the score needed to know what his call was going to be. And I will tell you his call in a few minutes. Just as the referee made a judgment call as to whether or not the basket counted, we saw in verse 21 that Christ makes a judgment call as to whether or not certain people are going to get into heaven when they die. What is his call? Do you need to look at it again? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is his call? Not everyone who thinks they are going to heaven really is. Now, folks, this passage that we're considering today in the will of God, this passage speaks to us about the most critical moment in eternity for all of us. The instant in time where we find out whether or not he will receive us or reject us. Many find out, unfortunately, their true standing before God on that future day, but God wants us to know it now. This passage is telling us that people are entering into eternity deceived about their true spiritual condition. People are entering into eternity deceived about their true standing before God. Because your eternity is at stake, you must make sure that you're on the right path. You must make sure, you must be 100% certain that you now possess eternal life by, as verses 13 and 14 say, entering the narrow gate and taking the narrow way that leads to life. The title of our message this morning, Christ's Judgment Call. What will the call be when he reveals your eternal fate? The first thing we see unfolding in this passage is that Christ gives us a warning about that future day. And there are two questions that need to be answered here. What is the warning and what is the day? Okay, he's given us a warning. So what is the warning? What is the day that he's talking about? The warning is simply this, as we've already read, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day. So what is the warning? Not everyone who thinks they're going to heaven really is. What is the day? Well, many of you probably have a Bible with cross references when it talks about this, and included may be verses such as what Christ said to his disciples in Matthew 10. He says, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off of your feet. Truly, I say to you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that rejects Christ. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord, this is serious, this is serious. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. You see why this is considered a warning? In that high school basketball game, hate to say this, 35 years ago, the referee made his way over to the scorer's table. And again, I'm watching him. And he goes over to the table, and I'm thinking, buddy, you weren't even watching. He goes over like this, and he goes, starts shaking his head. And this guy had swagger, I'm telling you. Just made it worse. He went swaggering over to the scorer's table. And he starts shaking that head of his. And he goes like this. No good. My perception, this basket is most certainly going to count. And in reality, it didn't. I was wrong. And you know what the warning here of this passage is? According to Jesus Christ, many people are going to be proved wrong when their eternal fate is revealed. You need to consider this warning. Am I really on the right path? Not only does Christ give us a warning about that future day, but secondly, I want you to notice that Christ opens a window into that future day. This is really incredible. He gives us a look into the future. We want to know what the future is, right? I'd love to be able to tell the future in a few areas. Okay? Well, he's going to open up a window into the future, and I must say he's going to give us a look into the window of a very sobering scene. And here we're going to see three aspects of this day of judgment that he's talking about. The first thing we see in verse 22 is the sovereign judge. Jesus said in verse 22, many will say to me on that day. This passage and others presents Jesus Christ as the sovereign judge, the one who has a right to make such claims. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, James 4:12. God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead, Acts 17. The Father has given all judgment to the Son, John 5:22. Before I came to Christ at age 21, I had the unfortunate opportunity to spend time in front of a judge in a courtroom for something very stupid that I had done. And I want you folks to know there was absolutely no question as to who was in control of that meeting. The guy in the black robe had all the power. Do you see Jesus Christ in that role today? Or do you see him as an adorable little baby in a manger? The Apostle John said, I was in the Spirit, Revelation 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Then I turned to see the voice, and I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And the Apostle John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. The sovereign judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the sovereign judge, but secondly, we see the surprised subjects. Now, when I saw the referee swaggering over, I was like, okay, this is not going to go well. And then when he did this, okay, I'm sure there were several emotions going through my mind at that time. Anger, definitely. Shock, disbelief, that would be the one I distinctly remember. Surprise. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? That ball easily left my hand. There's no question about it. Now, I didn't go over to him and protest the call. I was going that direction. He was going over there. I didn't go over and say, hey, wait a minute. You definitely got that wrong. You're missing a great game, man. No, I didn't protest the call whatsoever. I simply headed to the locker room with the rest of my team. And as we're about to see, when the stakes are higher than a, back then it was a two-point basket, okay? Now it would be considered a three-pointer. But when the stakes are higher than a two-point basket, people will be more inclined to argue their case. Will you see the surprise many experience when they find out they are not going to heaven? They start to give Christ the reasons why he should let them in. How would that have gone if I would have went to that judge and say, sir, you're wrong, and here's why. These guys start giving him the reasons why he should let them in. Verse 22. Many will say, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Folks, who are these people? Or we could ask it like this. Who is Christ really targeting with this warning? As he opens this window, who is he trying to get the attention of? We need to answer that. It says right there that they professed salvation. They called him Lord, Lord, in thy name, in thy name. These would be people who during their earthly lives came to the conclusion or at least gave mental assent to the fact that Jesus was Lord. He was the supreme master. He was deity. Professors of Christ, but evidently not possessors of Christ. You know, it's not enough to say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, he was God's son. No, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and what? Do not what I say. James 1 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1 says the person who is a hearer only is deceived. He's deceived about his true spiritual condition. Check it out if you want, James 1. People profess salvation. Some perform good works. They will say in all sincerity, Lord, I have served you in your name. They might say things like this. But wait a minute, I attended church. I taught Sunday school. My dad was a deacon. I did special music. I helped with music camp. I. Where does all their contesting get them? Well, if an NFL coach doesn't like the call, he reaches into that special place and he grabs the red challenge flag, doesn't he? And he throws it out so the referee can see it. Well, as an NFL coach is able to do, these people will not be able to throw out a challenge flag and send this judgment call into instant replay. It's not unusual for a referee to miss a call, but it is absolutely impossible for an all-knowing, sovereign judge to miss one. He's not going to say, nope, you know, you're absolutely right. I forgot about all those things you did for me. No, what will he say? As we look in this open window to the future, we see the sovereign judge, the surprised subjects, and third, we see the saddest words ever heard. Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Well, folks, what was the result of the call in the ball game that I played in 35 years ago? What was the result of that call? No points. Really wasn't a big deal, because what is one basket when you're losing by 20 and you have no possibility of winning the game? Did anybody get excited last night when Oklahoma made a three and they were down by 40? No. Why? It was hopeless. Not a big deal, but on the contrary, the result of hearing the words, I never knew you. Depart. That will be devastating. He will command these people to depart out of his sight. Where will they go? I can tell you this, they're not going to just walk away. You may be a regular attender. You may attend here every Sunday, and you're totally unmoved by the singing. You're totally unmoved by the preaching. Maybe you don't even want to be here. Well, you won't walk away on that day totally unmoved. Because Revelation 20, verse 15 tells us, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In the mid-70s, my family went to a Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, to a Bears game against the Los Angeles Rams. Before they were in Los Angeles the second time, obviously. And we watched this game, got to see the great Walter Payton. Unquestionably the best running back that ever played football. There's no question. Emmett Smith is not, you know, whoever else you want to throw in there. Payton did all that with a terrible line. I'll argue that one all day with you after church. And I win because I'm up here and you're down there. So we're watching this game, and this guy jumps out of the stands and starts running around on the field. In fact, he went right up to where the players were. Now, you know, the Bears didn't say, hey, let's throw this guy a pass or let's give him the ball. Nobody did anything like that. And from where we were, the yellow coats, we could see them like, you know, ants on a piece of food. The yellow coats surrounded this guy, and they started to herd him over toward the exit where we were sitting. And here he came, and it was obvious to me that when they finally got a hold of him right down in front of us, he didn't want to go anywhere. And he was trying to tear into those guys, and within seconds, they were pummeling this guy. And then, kicking and screaming, they drug him out that exit. And since then, I've thought, I wonder if that's what it might be like when Jesus says that people will be cast into the lake of fire. I know we don't like to think about this, but it's Bible. And I'm not going to make it fantastic or try to scare anybody today, but who knows? Maybe at this moment they can see it. And as those security guys had absolutely no trouble with him, the angels are not going to have trouble with anybody getting them in. Friend, don't enter into eternity deceived about your spiritual condition. Christ gives us a warning about that day. He opens a window into that day. And number three, lastly, he tells us the only way to be secure on that day. And this is the good news. It's all been bad. Now it's good. He tells us the only way to be secure. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but here's who is going to heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is God's will concerning the matter of people getting into heaven? It really doesn't tell us here, does it? It doesn't really specify exactly what his will is about people getting into heaven. But Scripture is neither neutral nor silent about that. So in closing, I would like you to either turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6 or look at there. It's already in your bulletin. You can open your bulletin to John chapter 6 as well. John chapter 6. Christ tells us the only way to be secure on that future day. John 6, and I'm going to start at verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Okay, here it is. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on that day. What is his will? Behold the Son and believe in him. Believe what? Believe that he was a baby in a manger. Believe that he was a good man. Believe that he was an excellent teacher of values. Yes, he was all of these, but you must believe more than that. You must believe God when he says that all have sinned and the wages of sin is death. You will never go to heaven until you realize and admit, yes, I am a sinner before a holy God. Believe that. Believe that God showed his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. He died so that we wouldn't have to. He died to pay the penalty for our sin. Believe that. Believe God when he says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And believe that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I urge you today to confess him as Lord now, as opposed to that terrible day in the future when it is too late. Now, I don't know, maybe you're here today and maybe you hate my guts by now. You say, oh, you told a good story, but I don't like what you're saying. Well, and you would just say, I'm an outright unbeliever. I don't believe any of this Bible stuff and this church stuff. There may be somebody like that here. I don't know. Well, I want to ask you a pointed question. If God will cast people into the lake of fire who claim to believe him and do works in his name, what kind of chance do you have? Revelation 21:8 says, all, here's the word, unbelievers will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. And then I want to remind us all that this passage was written primarily to people who are entering into eternity deceived about their true spiritual condition. Now, I want to point out here, and I'm almost finished. This is very important. What did these people do in Matthew 7:22 when they found out the truth? What did they do when they found out they were not going to heaven? You remember? They started telling Christ the reasons why he should let them in. And you know, it was all based on what they did. What line of defense would you put up if you were in that situation? I think this is what I would say. Just as I am, without one plea. Not I. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And when you bid me to come, I came to you, O Lamb of God. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. I'm still very clear on August 4th, 1984, as a 21-year-old sinner, when I cried out to him whose blood could cleanse each spot. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. What will Christ's judgment call be when he reveals your eternal fate? I'd like you to bow for prayer. And before I pray, I just ask you to just not waste these next several seconds, but did God send me here today for you? You're going to spend eternity somewhere, and probably you think you're going to heaven. And I hope you are, and that's something you can be sure of. And I certainly wouldn't want to be here making anybody doubt who really knows Christ. It's the last thing I would want today. But maybe God sent me here for you. and had this message for you, because maybe up until right now, you have been deceived. You're basing your salvation on the fact that you go to this church or you do good works. Friend, it's not what you do, it's what Christ did. And somebody in this room today may need to come to Him just as you are, a wretched sinner. And right now in your seat, you can call out to Him to be saved. So I would just want to urge you, before you're out of here today, to get that settled. And there may be believers, who knows, this message really wasn't to you and really preparing for the Lord's table to examine yourself, but maybe God has revealed something to you today where you need to examine whether or not you can eat of this table in a worthy manner. Means part of that means with not having known sin in your life. Believer, you can come to Him just as you are. Confess and make things right with Him. Father in heaven, thank You for this time we've had. If there's somebody today who truly does not know Your Son, we would ask that Your eye would diffuse a quickening ray and that dungeon would flame with light. Oh God, have mercy. Draw someone to Yourself. Help us as believers to be holy and pure as we seek to live for You. Thank You for this opportunity to study Your Word, and thank You for this opportunity now that we have to partake of Your table. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.